Tom has done a real nice job here of setting the stage. And so if you think about this and keep this consumer in that picture of that consumer in your mind, whichever that consumer looks like in your part of the world or what you may perceive they would look like in a city like New York, the bottom line comes down to this. How do we avoid all of this great work and the foundation of what Tom has just outlined and have a derailment? And have a derailment in terms of confidence in that customer based on their perceptions of the reputation of the product that you produce or the industry that produces that product. So what I'd like to do is bring this home with respect to how do we make sure that we avoid having that loss of confidence with that consumer and how that links to the focus and the focus of the precious resources we have to work with. And last but not least, your leadership role as we begin to put together our plans to set the stage for 2010. When you think about this consumer and you think about the picture that Tom showed you just a little bit ago about what's going on in their minds, well, they either have the opportunity to see it on TV, read it in a newspaper like some of you have read this morning, or they have the opportunity to see these little thing called BlackBerry and what comes across that gives messages around confusion that may erode their confidence. Confidence about what does this food pyramid really mean? What's happened with the issue around animal welfare versus what they see as being positioned as animal activism? How do they look at the carbon footprint and what that means to greenhouse gas emissions? And last but not least, linking right back to, okay, is there really a carbon footprint here? Is there really a link back to what is real versus what is not real in their minds that might erode their confidence with messages that Tom is talking about earlier that are just being pounded in front of them each and every day? So if you begin to say, okay, we've done all of this great work, how do we avoid this? It starts by going down this pathway. It starts by first understanding what we're faced with. It starts to then look at where the money is. I've heard a saying about you always have to find the ultimate piece of the puzzle by following the trail of money. And that trail of money is significant. You've heard Burton. You've heard Colin talk this week. And you've heard us as an organization, if we think for just a minute how we address these issues first from a policy perspective in Washington, D.C. with a budget of $500,000 versus what you see on this slide. And one in particular, one I want to really draw out is that of HSUS. This is data from back in 2003, 2004 that would suggest that they've got a position with a budget of around $100 million a year. We think that that could be anywhere from near from $130 to $140 today. And guess what? They've got a war chest of maybe about $230 to $240 million. Well, what do they do with that? They build political muscle. And if you want to use an analogy that some of you in this room can really anchor to, think of it this way. Think of the National Rifle Association and what they work with and the link they have to people across this great country we live in compared to that of the amount of horsepower or political muscle that someone like the Humane Society of the United States might have. There was a comment made to us the other day that if we're not careful, this organization could look like the American Red Cross in 5 or 6 years. And how would that make you feel? Why? It's because of this. It starts with their purpose. It starts with what is it that they're trying to accomplish when you look at their statements. Right here, as you can see, it's they are perceived as these policy experts on the animal welfare movement. It's been better stated that they are out to do one thing, and that is to abolish food animal ag production in this country. You've seen what's happened with some of the state initiatives, 25 of them. Most notably might be that comes from the state of California. Folks, we need to really keep a close eye on and work very closely with our counterparts in California. Because a lot of this starts with the mindset that comes from the activists from that part of the world. And how do we make sure we work closely with that team to compress those initiatives before they get out of that area of the country? Because what you've seen is by virtue of Proposition 2, that went from California and headed right to where? The Midwest, to Ohio. Is it real? Absolutely it's real. It's real because they have a leader. They have a leader called Wayne Buscelli, is this gentleman right here. He's very passionate, he's very articulate, and he's able to capture the hearts and the minds of folks with a position of we're out here talking about animal shelters when really, again, their message statement is all about abolishing food animal agriculture in this country. So they're coming after you. I had the pleasure of being in this part of the world a few weeks ago with the YCC, the Young Cattlemen's Conference. And as we wrapped up that conference on a warm, sunny morning, we were standing off to the right side of those steps going up to the Capitol building, taking our picture before we went off into our congressional visits. One part of the group, after we took a picture, went to the right and one went to the left as we marched up the hill, literally. And guess who they met coming around the corner on the right side of that Capitol building? Wayne Boselli. So do you think that he is focused on influencing, with his leadership skills, the people that make policy in this country? Absolutely. So how do we do this? How do we take this out of the equation is part of why we have to focus with the precious resources that we have. Now, when you think about what precious resources we have, there are a lot of factors that are driving what it is that we're working with. Okay? There's been a decline in the overall beef board budget as it relates to the last several years in the resources that we are working with when it links to checkoff resources. Tom, if you look at this picture here and you have to say, okay, Forrest and to the rest of the group here, this is where this thing is headed when we look at 2010 or maybe 2011. What's that bar graph going to look like when we go forward here in the next 18 months?
That's right. Forrest, you know, this is actually a little older slide. 2009 actually dropped more than that. We have about $41.7 million this year on the beef board side. And if we look at 2010 and you compare that to 2007, just 3 years, the dollars that go to the national program budget have dropped 25%. 25%. That's on top of 50% plus reduction in the purchasing power of the dollar.
You bet.
So we have our challenges there.
You bet. So where we have, if I look at Tom, is you have a marketer here and a bean counter up here trying to figure out how this picture comes together. And so I listen to the banker here, and this man tells me what? It tells me we're going to continue to have challenges near term with what are resources and the precious resources we have to work with. So I started out with trying to understand how do we really clearly articulate what's happening in that consumer's mind. How might they be having an erosion of their confidence in our product, given all the other things going on in our industry? Now with this picture in mind and we look at our resources we have to work with, what's driving this comment that Tom just made? You know these pictures, but I want to just underscore where it starts. It starts with drought. This picture is very different, obviously, than what it was just 3 years ago. That little purple area down in the bottom part of that graph is where my home turf is. And my family absolutely unequivocally understands what purple means on this graph. That drove, if you think back to 3 years ago, a lot of different movements of where the cow base was in this industry. It had, among other factors, as you've heard from our experts at Cattle Facts, a lot of influence, but not the only influence, in what happens with the erratic behavior that you see with prices, no matter what segment. It also had an impact here. It also had an impact in terms of a generation saying, you know what, I'm not sure I want to take this land and look at carrying on this tradition within our family for the next 50 years. It ultimately drove these graphs to start giving you a picture of decline. And ultimately what it did is it said, wait a minute, just like Todd Firkins talked about what's happening in the animal health industry in his opening comments, we are truly, and they are truly, a reflection of what's happening with this slide in terms of further industry consolidation. So all in all, what I'm trying to suggest is that those bar graphs in the comments that Tom was making about our resources has everything to do with this. The manufacturing facility that we have, where we focus on bringing beef to the market for us to further market and position, has had this contraction. In 1975, as you can see, we had a 46 million base compared to 32 in 2009. When we look at the feeder cattle side of this thing and outside of feed yards, we went from 40 million to 27.5 in that 1982 to 2009 time period. And last but not least, the ultimate part of that engine is the beef cow piece. And the beef cow piece, in terms of those total operations, going from a little over a million to a little under 800,000 here in 2008. So with that said, we try to understand, okay, if we are a country that exports 10% of what we produce and we consume 90% of it, we look at ourselves as big beef eaters, and that is an absolutely true statement. But the flip side that sometimes we need to back up and understand is while we have all of these things going on in our country, And while we have demand that we have to really zero into to protect and grow domestically, we have to also reflect on the fact, and the fact that 96% of the people in this globe live outside of the United States of America. So how do we take that in perspective and start to look at how we do this? And now I want to transition toward, if we have these focused, precious resources, how do we make sure that we are bringing, as Tom started with his opening comments, we're trying to bring information to you and all week long that as you go into the rest of today and tomorrow, you can have more knowledge and you can make ultimately more informed business decisions about how we invest those precious resources. So as I wrap up here, it's about, at the end of the day, your role going forward. Your role, as Tom has started with, laying the foundation of this domestic focus of beef demand. Followed by just one example I gave you of what's happening in the consumer's mind in terms of avoiding that derailment of confusion or lack of confidence in the product that they are purchasing because of this business or political climate that we see in this country. And last but not least, it's by working together and by having a very high degree of engagement as we go forward, we can also have an opportunity to tap into these export markets and through our efforts with market access, working very closely together with our relationship with the Cattlemen's Beef Board and organizations like the U.S. Meat Export Federation. I have still, and you may call me hard-headed, and despite all of the moving target that we've had to deal with yet this week and even in the last 24 hours, with one critical market outside of this country, and that be Japan. I sit right in front of Ron Kirk at the U.S. Trade Representative's office and heard his commitment to help us every way that they can to move the needle from 20 to 30 months. You know what the economic impact of that is for you. So that is absolutely unequivocally, despite all of the political realities we're dealing with, a number one focus when we look at market access. So Japan, Tom, that is a critical area.
That is a huge issue. I think everybody knows that. As Forrest and Kim and Lynn and I were doing some very last-minute preparations last night, it seemed like you dealt with some Japanese that gave you some advice that might be applicable here. I'm not sure. Do you think they're up for that story, or is that a little inappropriate?
Tom's going to have a little bit of fun with me. I had an opportunity why I'm so passionate about Japan is because they are such a very passionate, aggressive, energetic culture. And some of the business dealings that I've had with the Japanese, I reflected on in a story I told Tom and Kim last night and Lynn when we were preparing for this. I was at a leadership development program where we were looking at some strategies organizationally here a few years ago. And we had a gentleman that was with our organization that was working at a small working group. And so we'd been going back and forth, had some real intense discussion for about 2 hours, and he had an interpreter there with him. So, you know, we're all trying to read what he's trying to say, and out of nowhere, he just jumps up and said, No, you got to fuck us! You got to fuck us! And everybody just froze, said, what in the world is this guy saying? It's the only word of English he tried to use. What does that mean? And his interpreter said, no, he means we have to focus. We have to focus. So my second and my last message to you this morning, and having a little bit of fun with that story, is, folks, we have precious resources, and we absolutely have to focus. And there's no other way that we can focus unless we have this. It is these organizations working together. Every beef producer in this country contributes to the beef checkoff. We have an enormous responsibility as we come together in a joint meeting and as we head into further development of our plans for 2010 to work together in a very aligned way so that as the contractor within the beef checkoff, we can work very closely with the Cattlemen's Beef Board through the beef checkoff initiative so that we can, as cattlemen come together through leadership, provide what Todd Firkins opened with, and that is solutions to move the needle as we go into 2010. So with that, Tom, I hope we've given these folks a little bit more of a layer of information that you can use to further your knowledge to make more informed business decisions as you go forward for the rest of this week.